Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for Atlanta Business Radio, spotlighting the city's best businesses and the people who lead them.
First up on Atlanta Business Radio, I got Avery Munnings with Deloitte. Welcome, Avery.
Thank you. Good to be here.
We're here to talk about an interesting report that Deloitte put together about diversity. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Sure. So the report is called the Missing Pieces Report, and it's a collaboration between Deloitte and the Alliance for Board Diversity. And the report really focuses on spotlighting the diversity of corporate boards, specifically focused on both the Fortune 100 and the Fortune 500.
And then when they say diversity, what are they looking for diversity, and what groups are they counting as part of diversity?
Yeah, so it's really looking at both women and minorities on the boards, and just looking at the makeup of the board compared to those groups vis-a-vis, Caucasian men.
Okay, so it's white men, and then it's everybody else?
I wouldn't say it's everybody else. I think it's white men, and specifically trying to understand the makeup of boards via, women and minorities, and there are specific categories that are looked at within those groups. And so, you know, it's both people of color as well as women in general.
And so they didn't do sexuality, gay, yeah, straight. That wasn't part of this.
That was not part of it.
And then, so what was the results? Has there been progress, or is this a slow road?
Well, there has been what I would describe as significant progress, but I would tell you the progress has not been fast enough. And to put that in perspective for you, what we saw, the census looked at the diversity of corporate boards, as we've talked about it, for both 2016 and then again in 2018. And what we saw was, in that period of time, we saw that the percentage of diverse people on the Fortune 500 boards, for example, increased from about 30% to 34%. You compare that in the Fortune 100, that increase went up to 38%. However, when you break the numbers down a little further, what you see is, if you specifically look at African-American men and women, you'll see that that percentage only moved from about 12% to 16%. And you look at Asian and Pacific Island minorities, it's even less. And of course, with Hispanics, it's less. And so the point being, we've seen an increase overall in diversity on boards, primarily driven by the proportion of white women coming onto corporate boards. And then as well, we saw African-American women increase as well. But when you look at the pace of change and the pace of increase, it's actually not very fast at all.
And then how do you determine what's the appropriate pace of change?
Well, you know, that's really a subjective determination. What I would tell you is, you know, if you kind of step back and look at what's going on in the broader population, right, what we're seeing is a shift in the population in terms of the overall percentage of our population that's comprised of these minority groups. And if you look at the shift in the population, not only in terms of the percentage of women, but the percentage of minorities, you're not seeing the representation on corporate boards move in line with the shifting in the overall population.
And then does Deloitte have any suggestions, recommendations?
Well, what I would say is, you know, there is a clear business case to be made that more diverse corporate boards are not only good for business, but, you know, the right thing to do. But it's not about the right thing to do. It's really about there's a strong business case for it. And that is evident in a research study for example, that was done by there are a number of data sources actually that illustrate that diverse corporate boards yield a positive impact on a company's market share. So specifically, companies with market cap of $10 billion with women board members outperformed comparable businesses with all male boards by 26% over a six-year period from 2012 forward, according to a Credit Suisse Research Institute study. And so just think about that, right? If you want to make the business case, if you've got women on your board and they're outperforming comparable companies by 26%, that makes a fairly strong case that there is value, real value, in diversifying corporate boards.
So now you're involved with lots of companies of size like this, and you make this case. And if they're purposely not doing that, then what would be the reason? If that's what they're charged for doing is to improving shareholder value, and they're saying, hey, yeah, I've read this research that says that we're going to get a better return if we do this, we choose not to do this.
Yeah, I don't know that I would say companies are purposefully not doing it.
Well, I think they're accidentally not doing it?
Well, I think is they need to be more intentional about achieving the result of a more diverse board. It's not going to happen by itself. You know, you have to have leadership of the board and the chief, leadership of the enterprise itself that are focused on achieving that end result. And so, and that means you've got to do things differently. You've got to seek out, women and minority board members. You know, as vacancies come up, you don't just, do it the way that it's been done for, all of history, which is, people know other people and they look to the same group of folks, and those same folks continue to populate boards.
Right, but there's an inertia to that, right? Yeah. Like that's the white guys in charge of stuff, by and large, and his buddies are white guys.
Right.
So when it's time to fill a slot, the pool he's looking at are primarily people that look like him.
That's right. As an example of that, when you look at the makeup of board chairs within the Fortune 500 companies, 91% of board chairs are white men. And, that's not to say that's a bad thing. It's just to say that a function of that demographic is simply that you've got people in the leadership roles who are driving those decisions, and therefore it's easy to pull from, folks you know and people you're comfortable with. You've got to be intentional about going outside of the places where you typically might look and to go and find, those diverse board members. And as I said, it's not going to happen, by itself. There's got to be specific strategy around it. For example, companies should look to, when board vacancies come up, going to search firms that specialize in finding diverse board members and, have specific objectives around filling those open seats with intentionality around the candidates that you bring. And so it's just a matter of changing focus and being intentional, and I think those results can be achieved.
Now, does it start? Does the change begin with the CEOs, or does it begin with the chairman of the board? Who is the driver here that can institute the most kind of action? Who's the best catalyst to make this change?
Well, quite honestly, it's all of them. The CEO is a very powerful voice, in the boardroom, and in many cases, if not most, the CEO also serves in the role of chairman of the board. And so if you've got that duality whereby you've got the chairman of the board also serving as the CEO, then that person in that role is very, very significant to that decision-making process. In other cases, you've got where the CEO might be the chairman, you've got someone called the lead director, right? And so you've got the lead director, which is intended to be an independent board member, not an insider like a CEO might be. And so the lead director then plays a key role in driving that result in combination, in collaboration with the CEO or the chairman of the board. And so it really comes down to the leadership either as board chair, and as I said, that could be the CEO, but the lead director also has a very key role in driving that decision.
And then is part of the challenge also is having the pool of candidates to be the board members to be more diverse too. Like it has to flow downstream as well, right?
Absolutely. And in fact, that's one of the things that the study, the Missing Pieces report uncovered, is that even when companies are looking for diverse board members, women and minorities, what we see is that you've got the same candidates being recycled
on usual different suspects.
Boards. It's the usual suspects, right? So you find a small pool and you see those same individuals then being recruited time and time again by multiple companies to fill open board spots. And so what companies, again, have to be intentional about doing is going outside of those recycled board members to find new candidates in new places and bring them to the board. You know, one of the things that Deloitte has focused on in terms of the role we play is we have a number of board development activities that our firm has promoted and engaged in. We, just as an example, we have a world-class training and development facility in Dallas that we call Deloitte University. And what we do at Deloitte University is we have a number of targeted seminars and leadership development opportunities that we make available to corporations and boards, for that matter, to help them think through strategic issues like, you know, how do I make my board more diverse? Or just how do you get better collaboration, you know, on the board? And how do you achieve the objectives that the board intends that it wants to? And so we have developed over, you know, a period of years, tremendous capability and around, you know, assisting boards and companies with doing, you know, this work.
Now, is there any training to kind of groom a person to be a good board member, to have the skills and that you need to be a board member that is chosen to be part of the pool so that you have a chance to be chosen to be part of the board?
You know, there are multiple vehicles out there in terms of training that's available to potential board candidates. Some of them are available through firms like mine, but there are a tremendous number of them out there. You know, I would say the best and what most companies look for in candidates for the board are people who have had experiences running companies or serving in key C-suite roles. If you look at most boards of directors, they're made up of C-suite executives, former or current sitting CEOs, CFOs, chief operating officers, chief marketing officers, chief technology officers, and the like. And so, you know, the experience that one garners from having run a business or run a part of a business and have gained the experience in those roles is where most companies look to for board candidates. And you might, you know, think about that and say, well, that creates a challenge because then that means if you're looking for women and minority candidates.
They're running money less.
That's right.
So it's kind of a self-fulfilling prophecy.
That's right. So again, comes back to the CEO and the board being intentional about making sure that when you look at the pipeline within corporations, right, that the candidates who are in the roles that they ultimately can graduate to the C-suite are diverse. And so it really starts from the bottom all the way up to the top, where companies have to be intentional about making sure opportunities are available across their organizations such that women and minorities are positioned to excel and to move up. And therefore, you create, over the long term, the candidates that ultimately become the diverse board members.
So you've been with Deloitte for a minute or two, and you've seen some things. Are you optimistic, pessimistic, realistic? What's your take on this situation?
Well, yeah, I've been with Deloitte for 32 years, and so I've seen a lot over that period of time. And I would say I'm optimistic. One of the things that this Missing Pieces study found, and in fact predicts, is that by 2024, our prediction is that you would have 40% of the Fortune companies having diverse boards and diverse or having at least 40% diversity on their boards, I should say, in the Fortune 500. And so if you think about that, that's huge. Today, as I mentioned before, the Fortune 100 is about 38%, and the Fortune 500 is only at about 34%. And so to move, you know, by 2024 to 40%, you know, is significant progress and also representative of a fairly significant move in the right direction.
Now, are you seeing diversity in the C-suite in the companies that are, you know, Fortune 501 and below? Are you seeing an influx of diverse leaders starting and running companies that aren't at the Fortune 500 level but are still, you know, kind of growing and on the upswing?
Well, our study focused
on the
Fortune 500, and, of course, the 100 is a subset of that. And so we have not studied
below that
level specifically.
But you've been around the block. So where are you seeing more diversity in up-and-coming companies?
I would tell you that the Fortune...
Anecdotally.
Yeah. The Fortune companies are doing better than companies that are smaller in size and scale than they are. So I don't have exact data on that, but perception-wise, I would tell you, from what I see, I would say companies below that level are not doing as well in their board diversity as you see in the large.
But that's a problem because they're kind of the farm league, right? Those Fortune 1000 companies are going to be in the Fortune 500,
some of them will.
Because the Fortune 500 isn't a static list.
Correct. It does change.
And it changes dramatically. If you want to look at the Fortune 500 from 30 years ago when you started, I guarantee you it doesn't look anything like the Fortune 500 of today.
Absolutely not. But I think what we have seen and what this study proves is that once companies make it into the Fortune listing, they are much more intentional about ensuring they've got more diversity than when perhaps they're not in that group. And so, you're right. You know, the farm system is, as you describe it, what it is. And but certainly what we know is once companies get to that level, then in fact they are making a difference in achieving more diverse boards.
And when they see that these kind of reports come out and they see the ROI in doing this, maybe that'll kind of turn the light on in their shop.
Well, that's
well.
Our hope. I mean, that's our hope is that, you know, research studies like this would demonstrate to companies that, you know, this is a business imperative to achieve more diversity on corporate boards. And there are a number of statistics that prove when you have more diverse boards, not only is it good for business, but it drives better operating performance within the company and, you know, overall clearly demonstrates that the ROI of investing in more diverse candidates and more diverse boards is without question.
Good stuff. Well, thank you so much for sharing your story today. If somebody wants to get a hold of the report, what's the best way to do it?
Actually, if you go to www.deloitte.com, it will be available.
And then the name of the report again is?
It's called the Missing Pieces
Report. Pieces Report on the Deloitte website. Well, thank you, Avery, for sharing your story.
Thanks for having me.